Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, if my brother keeps on sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? No, not seven times, answered Jesus, but 70 times seven, because the kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who decided to check on his servants' accounts. He had just begun to do so when one of them was brought in who owed him millions of pounds. The servant did not have enough to pay his debt, so the king ordered him to be sold as a slave with his wife and children and all that he had in order to pay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before the king. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you everything. The king felt sorry for him, so he forgave him the debt and let him go. Then the man went out and met one of his fellow servants who owed him a few pounds. He grabbed him and started choking him. Pay back what you owe me, he said. His fellow servant fell down and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had him thrown into jail until he should pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were very upset and went to the king and told him everything. So he called the servant in. You worthless slave, he said. I forgave you the whole amount you owed me just because you asked me to. You should have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you. The king was very angry, and he sent the servant to jail to be punished until he should pay back the whole amount. And Jesus concluded, this is how my Father in heaven will treat every one of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know if many of you remember sitting here in this congregation or in one of our other services or maybe in one of the other groups that you meet with and writing on a card something about what hurts you the most. Do you remember those Who Cares cards? And we ask that single question, what is the one thing that hurts you the most? Or what's one of the most things that you find the most difficult to handle? And we've been looking at those cards, and we want to respond in these next few weeks to some of the things that came up on the Who Cares survey. And one of the things that came up really was sort of reading behind what was said, if you like, was how hurt we get by words and by other people's actions. And often, not only how hurt we get, but how we hold that hurt. And it stays with us, and we actually often want one of two things. Sometimes it's just as simple as wanting an apology from somebody. But often, if we're honest, I think, we want revenge. We want the person to suffer for what they have done or said to us. In fact, while I was researching for today, I came across a website. I'm not going to tell you which website it is. But basically it says, this is the home for all your revenge needs. So you never have a chance to get revenge on your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your boss, your colleague, your partner. Well, you know the saying, don't get mad, get even, and we can help you. There's one website dedicated to helping people get revenge. And I think so often our instinct when we've been hurt by somebody for something they've done is to seek revenge. Someone recently commented and said this, we are a funny group of people. We are Sue happy, not you, Sue. We're happy you're here, but we want to litigate against people. We sue for everything from a hot cup of coffee to hurt feelings. Forgiveness has become a lost art. Now everything is about revenge, getting even, or making someone pay. Sadly, it's drifted from the secular world into churches, where we should be loving and forgiving. We are often bitter and resentful. And the passage that we've read today, and one that we read earlier this morning, is actually from Hebrews. And the passage that we read from Hebrews this morning says that we're not allowed to allow a bitter root to grow in us and become actually from a small thing to become a huge issue in our lives that impacts everything that we do, and it just becomes this bitter center of who we are. Perhaps we don't want revenge, but we're seeking an apology from somebody. And I want to ask the question, one, what happens if the person who's offended you doesn't even know that they've offended you? How can they apologize? And if you hold on to that, well, who's going to win? I was recounting this morning earlier that somebody who's actually no longer with us, but when I first came to the church, I'd been out for lunch and I'd had quite a nice lunch, but I had an appointment at 2:30. And I went to visit this person, and as I walked in, I was offered a cup of tea and a biscuit. And I said, "No, thank you. I've just had lunch." And I suppose actually in my subconscious I knew that something was not quite right in the weeks that lay ahead. And I discovered about a year later that the person was really offended because I'd not accepted their hospitality. I never realized that saying no to a cup of tea could have caused so much offense. And what is it that we take offense against? And maybe the person that has caused that offense has no idea that they've ever offended you. So they don't even know that you're expecting an apology from them. And then the second thing is, maybe there are people who take offense over something that's been said to them that is true, but they don't want to face up to it. So in a sense, although the person has said something, there is no need to apologize for what they've said because it is true. But then there are people who may have caused you offense and said something that's horrible, who know they've done it, but actually they're going to take the stance that they're never going to apologize anyway. How do you cope with that? When people have offended you but won't even apologize, where does that leave you? Well, it leaves you, if you're not careful, carrying that hurt that develops into this bitter root. I don't know about you, but there have been times when people have hurt me or done something, and I've not been able to sleep, because actually what I do is I chew over it in my mind, and I lay in bed, and the whole thing is going over, and I'm planning what should happen to them so they get judged, punished in an appropriate way. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says that we should be those who forgive. What have we just prayed? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I don't think Jesus qualifies that, who says, and we should forgive those who apologize to us or make amends for the wrong they've done. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, actually, the reason we should forgive is because we have been forgiven so much. And that's the basis of the forgiveness. I think, actually, today that some people here might find it offensive. Offensive that Jesus says to you, you are to forgive with no conditions. Just like we have unlimited love from God, he expects us to have unlimited forgiveness. for others. Why must we forgive? Well, Jesus said that we should, didn't he? He said that we are to forgive others. We've just prayed that prayer. In Matthew 16, 14 and 15, Jesus said these words, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Why should we forgive? Because Jesus says, and because Jesus says, if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven ourselves. I think this is hard. And I think the parable that Jesus tells is a hard parable. Because at the end of it, the guy who's owed millions, he owed millions to the king. Some estimates say it's over £1 billion in our today's money that he owed the king. And he gets forgiven, and then he doesn't forgive his mate who only owes about 16 quid. And what happens to him? In the NIV, it says that he's put into jail and tortured until he can pay. That's the judgment that comes upon us when we don't pay, when we don't forgive others. So Jesus' instruction to us is to forgive. C.S. Lewis wrote this, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable in others, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us." So why should we forgive? Because God has forgiven us. And we are to forgive others. On the Alpha course, we often use an illustration. We say, okay, imagine that there's a scale here. If this is the top of the scale, and that's the bottom, who are the worst people in the world that you can think of? The worst person ever lived. Who would you put at the bottom of that scale? Hitler. Okay, so we'll stick Hitler down there. Anybody else? Can't hear. Who would you put at the top? Sorry? No, human being, not Jesus. We're not. Mother Teresa, yeah. My mum would be up here somewhere as well. Where would you put you? Where would you put you? Tim? It's about here. Okay? Everybody agree with that? Okay? Where'd you put Lois? Yeah. Where would you put me? I'm serious. But what's the standard that God expects of us? The standard is not the height of this church roof. Actually, the standard is higher than planes fly. And what Jesus is saying in that parable is that actually when we compare the sin that people do against us, it's minuscule in comparison with the sin that we've committed that nailed Jesus to the cross. And the reason we are to forgive is because we've been forgiven so much. And in comparison, those who sin against us is minuscule. The second reason why we should forgive is for our own peace of mind, our health and our well-being. Now, I think the scripture points towards those who harbor that resentment in their hearts and are unforgiving. And it points towards people being unwell. It destroys our peace. It eats away inside of us. It affects our health, our mental state, and even our emotional state. And Jesus doesn't say forgive others just out of whatever, but because he knows that when we forgive others, it's good for us to not harbor those resentments, those grievances, that hurt that impacts us. And we're to forgive because we have been forgiven so much. So who are we to forgive? Well, we've prayed it. We're to forgive those who sin against us. Just want you to take a moment and in your mind recall those who have hurt you or things they've done that have hurt you. Said stuff. What have they done to you that's damaged you and your life? Just hold that thing in your mind for a moment. Hold that person in your mind. And Jesus says, now we're to forgive them. We're to forgive those who hurt us and sin against us. Even if they don't apologize or say sorry or beg for forgiveness. But there's somebody else that we need to forgive. So often we need to forgive ourselves. Because actually we begin to apportion blame to ourselves. Sometimes that's right. But actually, what God's word says is when we come to him in penitence and faith, that he will forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. In a few moments, we'll watch a video, and it's C.S. Lewis that's referred to in the video by Nikki Gumbel. And C.S. Lewis more or less says that actually, if we don't forgive ourselves, we're setting ourselves up as a higher authority than God. Because if he forgives us, yet we're not prepared to forgive ourselves, we're putting ourselves above God. And actually, I think for some of you here today, the other person you need to forgive is God. Because you blame him for what's happened to you in your life. God is a God of love and justice who only gives good gifts. But he's given us free will. And that means that something I do will impact the life of Lois. Not because God is doing it, but because I'm doing it. And it's my choice to hurt other people. If you take away free will, we just become robots that have no capacity to love or be loved. And some of us have blamed God for what's happened in our lives, but he's not the one to blame. In fact, the Bible says it's the devil who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And we partner with him when we don't forgive and we allow that root of bitterness to grow up in us and mess us up. God only wants the very best for us, to give us good gifts. And how do we receive that forgiveness? And how do we forgive those people that have hurt us? Well, I believe it's as we accept Jesus not only into our lives, but allow his Holy Spirit to fill us and transform us. Allow his power to work within us. And when we're prepared to make the decision to forgive. See, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an action. It's a decision that we make. And I believe when we make that decision and we take those actions, that God will allow by his Spirit those feelings to follow. We're just going to watch a short clip. It's taken from the Alpha Course.
Really forgiving. For me, experiencing God's forgiveness made all the difference. Before I was a Christian, if someone had offended me, I'd hold a grudge against that person. But holding a grudge is like allowing the person to live rent-free in your head. I used to hold on to unforgiveness, thinking that I was doing the other person harm. But now I can see that unforgiveness did far more harm to me than it did to the other person. As someone said, not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and hoping the other person's going to die. Once you've experienced God's forgiveness, since God forgives you, you have to forgive yourself. And that's what I find the hardest. But we have to forgive because, as C.S. Lewis points out, not forgiving ourselves is like setting ourselves up as a higher tribunal than God. If God forgives, you must forgive yourself. And we forgive others because we've been forgiven so much. Forgiveness is a choice, but it's not an option. And it's not easy. C.S. Lewis said, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. And then it's really hard. But it really is true that the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. One of my great heroes is Corrie ten Boom. She's a Dutch Christian who hid Jews during the war. She was caught, and Corrie and her sister and her father went to Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her father and her sister, Betsy, died there. She's an amazing woman. And after the war, she went and spoke to others about forgiveness. She was speaking in a church in Germany one time, and at the end of her talk, she recognized the man coming up to her. And she could see it was one of the most cruel guards from Ravensbrück. She pictured him as he was then. And as he came up to her, he said, "I was a guard at Ravensbrück." He didn't recognize her, but she knew. She recognized him. She could see him. And she remembered walking naked past him. She said she felt so cold and so angry. He said, "I've become a Christian now. I know I did some very cruel things, but I've received God's forgiveness for the cruelties I've done. And I ask God's grace for an opportunity to ask one of my very victims for forgiveness." Fräulein ten Boom, once you were forgiven,
will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I said, "Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness." That same moment, I was free. And I could say, "Brother, give me your hand." And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
This total, unlimited.
God's love is stronger than our hatred or unforgiveness. And when we allow Jesus to come into our hearts and lives and fill us with his Spirit, he begins to transform us so that his love can overcome the deepest, the hardest hurt. And as we forgive, his love abounds in our lives. I'm just going to ask Moira to come and to share with us for a moment. Moira, you've not been coming to us for long, have you?
No, I'm a lapsed churchgoer. But I came back.
You came back, and you came and done our last Alpha course,
didn't
you?
I did last Alpha course.
And you're currently helping us on this current course.
Yeah.
Okay, and on the last course, you came to us 1 week, didn't you, and said that something had changed.
My sister and I fell out about 10 years ago. She did something that wasn't very nice. But what I did was worse. I didn't forgive her. And I held on to that grudge for 10 years. And our relationship dwindled to just being Christmas cards and birthday cards. And then on Alpha, we were talking about forgiveness. And one night, in the middle of the night, the neighbour's burglar alarm went off, so I was woken up. I had this sensation of, it was a thought put into my mind that was, if God can forgive you, why can't you forgive your sister? And I felt so ashamed of what I'd done. And then the same voice said, you couldn't invite her to stay. So the next morning, I got up early and I sent her a message and said, why don't you come and visit me this weekend? Well, come and visit me. And she replied within minutes and said, I can come this weekend, I'm on my own. And she came, and I realised I'd missed out on so much. Some wonderful things had happened to her, and I hadn't shared them. And some bad things had happened to her, and I wasn't there for her. All because I didn't forgive. And by forgiving her, I've got my sister back, and life is wonderful. And she's coming to visit me next weekend, and she's going to come to church with me.
I don't think that we said to Moira as she was at Alpha, you've got to go and forgive anybody. But that's the work of God's Spirit. And I believe God's Spirit is here today and he wants to do some amazing work, because I think I just sense here today that God wants to put his finger on your life and bring you healing from the hurt that you've held. And release you. We're going to sing together, Lord, I come, I confess. And it's as we come to God for forgiveness that he promises in Romans 5:5 that his love will be poured into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So as we sing this, if God has put his finger on your life already this morning, I want you to be brave and either put your hand up where you're sitting if you don't want to move, or to come forward, because it's the coming. There's something in the action of faith, of stepping out, of saying, God, I realize that I need to do this. And in that movement, in that coming, God starts to do his healing work. So I'm just going to pray and then we're going to sing. And if God has put his finger on your life, take courage, because God wants to do business with you today. And he wants to bless you, to heal you and release you maybe from that bitter root that you've allowed to grow. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, a loving God who gave yourself on the cross so that we might be set free. Thank you that you came to remove our guilt and our shame. Thank you that you came to remove our hurts. And we pray now in Jesus' name, by your Spirit, you would put your finger on the areas of our life that we need to deal with and begin to do your healing work. In Jesus' name we pray. Come, Holy Spirit.